You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Julian Hober. Julian, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Julian, what's happening now in your studio? What are you preparing for or involved with at the moment? I imagine that's more than one thing.
Well, right now, I'm actually in the middle of rebuilding my studio. I've just put up a show in Philadelphia where I grew up, and it's the first time I've had a chance to do an exhibition there. And I have a show up at the Rosenwald Wolf Gallery at the University of the Arts, and it's not, I wouldn't say it's quite a retrospective, but it covers the last 10 years of works, and it's the first time I've been able to bring a few different bodies of work together in one space, so that's been very exciting. In terms of the actual studio, right now what I'm doing is redesigning and rebuilding my space under pretty heavy construction right now. So that's, since my practice is partly architectural to begin with, it's very involving, and it should be reshaping the way I work for the next decade or so.
Well, that's very exciting. So I want to talk about those shows, but let's talk about rebuilding your space a little bit, because that does give, you know, context to your work and a number of things. What's happening? What is the rebuild, if you can talk about it? What will that entail?
Well, you know, I've always sort of moved into spaces and, you know, dealt with them predominantly as they were, and sort of made do with the circumstances. And, you know, I had a studio that after 2 or 3 years, I realized was really unsatisfying in terms of the way that the space worked. I work in a lot of different media. I paint. I do a lot of mold making. I make furniture. So there's woodworking. And so the studio has been broken up into a number of different spaces to really work efficiently, and they have to have a good way to work between them. You have to be able to keep things certain things clean and have other spaces where you can be dirty, and then also be able to move from one space to the other fluidly. And it's always been a real challenge. And really, I've always, as I said, you know, you rent these spaces, you get what you can afford, you get what you can deal with. And for the first time, I've had the chance, you know, I basically was told, you know, whatever you want to do with the space is fine, and so gutted the space to completely empty and started from zero. I had a kind of set up in my schedule that allowed for that, and set up in my finances that allowed for that. So we started really from zero, and I got to make the space exactly as I believe will be the sort of ideal way to function between the different media. And also to
so
make
it
look.
So it's a bigger space. That's also amazing.
It's actually smaller. It's actually smaller than recent spaces, the sort of last two studios I had. But because I will be able to manipulate it properly and break it up properly, for some reason the spaces I was always able to move into had sort of weird architectural problems and limitations. And this one allows me, it's just like a rectangle with no columns. It wasn't as big as some other places I've been in, but, you know, it didn't have the kind of impediments that some of the other places had. So now I've been able to really divide things in an intelligent way and make some proper storage. And for me, that kind of thing makes a tremendous difference in terms of, like, I'm not struggling with the space while I'm trying to solve a problem in an image.
Right. Well, that's exciting. And let's talk about the show that you had in your hometown, as you were saying. That sounds like it was interesting, but also there's, since you had never shown there before, there's something of a, I don't know if homecoming is the right word, but it seems to me significant because of the whole idea of the difficulty of, as cliche as it is, being recognized in your hometown as opposed to other major cities, and you've had a lot of recognition. How was that to show in your hometown? And by that I mean, what was the difference between showing there and its reception as opposed to the many other places you've shown?
Well, okay, so I grew up in Philadelphia, and I grew up in Center City, Philadelphia, you know, starting in the 70s. And I left Philadelphia in probably in 92, and I've been in Los Angeles for 20 years. I was, you know, in college and traveling around in between. But in spite of the fact that I've been in LA for 20 years and you know, I try to, you know, pursue my art career internationally, the formative experiences of Philadelphia, and in particular the formative experiences of the architecture there, which was a big part of my childhood, is really in the work. And I think that some of that is more legible there. That, you know, this is an odd thing. There's an architect named Frank Furness who, you know, is a very important American architect in the late 19th century. He designed the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts. He designed what is now the Fine Arts Library at UPenn. He also designed a block of row homes in Center City, Philadelphia. My parents bought a home in the early 70s that needed a tremendous amount of renovations, and in the process figured out that it was one of these Furness homes. So I grew up in this kind of strange, half-restored, really beautiful architectural home. And there's a lot of, and I, you know, I've written about it, that work is not really understood in the same way outside of Philadelphia as it is in Philadelphia. I think anyone who cares about architecture and art in Philadelphia knows who that is. And there's certain parts of that that have seeped into my work, as well as stuff connected to Louis Kahn from growing up in Philadelphia that have seeped into my work that I think have a different resonance there. So that alone was really exciting for me.
The Louis Kahn, the connection, you mean? In that
yeah, moment. I mean, Louis Kahn, you know, all of that originates from Philadelphia, and he was the – Louis Kahn taught at UPenn, and, you know, it's like every architect you meet in Philadelphia has some connection to Kahn, and Kahn's work has been very important to mine in this, you know, funny way where, of course, I love that work for a lot of the reasons that other people do, but also my babysitter was Kahn's daughter, so – the first thing I ever knew about architect was, oh, that's my babysitter's dad. You know, it was the first thing I ever knew about architecture. So it's all that stuff is in the work, and it's very personal.
Oh, was the person that was babysitting you? You mean not like your daughter or your son?
No. The person who was babysitting me as a child was Louis Kahn's daughter.
Oh, there's just something very exciting about that. I mean, I saw my architect, of course, too, and his children, families, everything.
Yeah,
such a history there, but
she's actually in the film. She's an illegitimate daughter that he had with the architect Ann Ting.
Oh, right.
And so Ann Ting, also a very important Philadelphia architect, whose house that was her sort of first major project was a house that I spent a lot of time in as a child. So you know, all this stuff sort of bubbles up through the work, and It's as I said, it's much more legible in the context of that city than I think it is in other places. So that was very exciting for me to have
legible in terms of the influence, because that's such an interesting thing there in terms of, you know, architectural influence on your work and early thinking. You're saying it was legible in terms of the Kahn projects in Philadelphia and your work's dialogue or relationship to them.
Yes, that, but also in a sense, and this is a funny thing I think about Philadelphia. I mean, many places are like this, but Philadelphia even more so, where if you talk to people from Philadelphia, they believe that everything in the world originated there, and that if something is from Philadelphia, it's better than from anywhere else.
Right.
And so the correspondence of the work to Philadelphia thing gives you a different kind of resonance there than, say, like, you know, than like pop art would in Hollywood, right? It's there's a sort of sense of belonging that it's given in that context, it seems to me. And that the audience there, I think, you know, resonates with the references a little bit more. They that stuff sort of comes through a little bit more. That's the impression I've gotten. I could be wrong, but also for me, you know, the gallery itself has like this big window in front, and you can look out the window and you see not necessarily Conn or Furness itself, but you see in the neighborhood buildings that have certainly a relationship to Furness and the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, you know, walking distance up the street. So there's literal examples of these things close by.
Right. And before we move on to the other show, Rosenwald Wolf, I want to ask you also again about that babysitter, because it's such an interesting and odd and early connection. That babysitter wasn't teaching you about art or architecture, I imagine. What was the, or was she, what was the influence there at that young an age? What were you seeing or hearing or talking about or visiting that made her an influential person that way?
I mean, really, the thing she, you know, that one of the big influences was her record collection. But, you know, she would play me a lot of Beatles and Beach Boys records. And so that was very much a part of my childhood. But somehow that didn't seep into the work in the same way. She did this very interesting thing, though, where she built me a dollhouse. And the dollhouse is in the form of a sort of hollowed-out tree stump that would, you know, be lived in by small animals, and there was little toy animals that would be played with that I would play with in it. But, you know, I still have it, and it has this kind of strange con quality, and I've actually done some work with that piece. So that's this kind of, you know, strange talisman of, you know, architecture at a child scale.
I love that. I'm so glad you mentioned that. That's what I was looking for. You know, like in the movie, you see him drawing pictures of hot dog boats and different kinds of things. Or I'm probably getting that wrong, but just had a certain playful sense with the forms and how children might have interpreted that. Well, that's so interesting. So let me ask you a little bit about the Rosenwald Wolf Gallery. That's where you said there was a kind of retrospective of your work, right?
Yeah. This is the show in Philadelphia.
And
Rosenwald Wolf is the show in Philadelphia.
So to look at that whole show, then, I mean, this was a retrospective starting from when to now, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, it's about the last 10 years. I mean, certainly it's a small show, so there's a lot of gaps in it, not comprehensive in any sense, but it allowed me to bring together some disparate bodies of work that. I mean, frankly, I've never really had a chance to have in a room together except in the kind of, you know, studio situation, which is always in flux. You know, there's a body of paintings that I think is maybe my best-known work, that is these geometric abstract paintings that are sort of rendered in a way that is maybe incongruous to what we expect of hard-edge abstraction. And then, because they're really goopy and sloppy. And then there's this sort of more architectural work where I was actually engaged in designing buildings, both buildings that I ended up making and things that are sort of exist just as proposal and fantasy. And then sort of, you know, research-based work that came out of that. And I think it's been hard for a lot of people to parse the relationship between those two bodies of work. And, you know, there's something magical about just cramming them in a room together, right? You're forced to reckon with what's similar in them.
Connections. I mean, the viewer makes a connection, whether
exactly.
It's there or not, they make one, right?
Right. And you know, I certainly had a fear, you know, when I saw what the sort of potential checklist was, I had this fear that maybe it was going to look like a yard sale, right? That it was going to just, you know, or the way certain art fair booths look, where it's just like you can't imagine why these things are together. And I really, you know, in a very self-conscious way, I wonder, like, oh, am I cohesive? Am I coherent, right? And you walk in the space, and it hung together in a way that was a little bit unexpected and for me quite satisfying.
That's wonderful. And the feedback you got there, how was that? Because for the first time, a lot of people, I mean, I'm sure that know you, of course, and also don't, are seeing a full body of work and making connections. Were there surprises from that, like someone making a comment about something or a connection that you didn't see or something else?
Well, I will say that, like, you know, there are people that I work with, you know, that I've worked with for years on a sort of weekly basis who saw the show and said that they understood what I was doing in a different way than they had before. They understood it more clearly, which is, you know, tremendously gratifying. And, you know, in terms of the other stuff, I actually find that people, you know, people are very polite and so reticent to tell you too much about deeper insights. I think you're at the opening and nobody's going to take you to task or like quiz you. Everybody, you know, wants you to have a nice time and, you know, drink your wine and go to a nice dinner afterwards. And they don't really take you to task at the opening. And I had to leave sort of very shortly after. So I didn't get, you know, there's been some press, but since it's the introduction to that city, the press isn't making sort of deep insights. I think they're sort of laying it out for people. And so I haven't had that much of that, except for people who already know me well, sort of having a sort of deepened experience with it. And I'm going back next week, so hopefully I'll encounter a bit more of that.
Right, right. Which is kind of wonderful about having a show and visiting it yourself, right? Is that possible to revisit and then draw connections yourself between the work, which may inform this. So as you move into this next phase, which is a rebuilt studio with new space and the ability to do new things, are there specific plans for new work that you want to mention? Is it sculptural or paintings or combination?
Well, you know, the first four or five shows that I had in galleries, in public, outside of school, were predominantly video, which, you know, is, I don't think I've made a video since 2007, but I did years of very intensive work in video. And, you know, I think I probably say this every time someone asks me for the last 10 years, like, oh, I'm about to go back and do video again. And I keep thinking that's on the table. In the meantime, while I figure out if I can actually bring myself to do that, I have a new body of paintings that I'm starting to work on. But it's so early that I hesitate to go into too much detail about it. But as with the best of my work, I think it's designed to have a structure that gives me enough limitations that I can, you know, make good and bad decisions within it. Something to obey and rebel against at the same time.
Well, that sounds exciting. Congratulations on the rebuild of that, and of course the recent show at Rosenwald Wolf. What are you reading at the moment?
I'm reading, you know, on and off for the last year, I've been reading bits and pieces of books on philosophy of the mind. Right now, I'm sort of in the middle of The Mind and the Cosmos by Thomas Nagel, who's making a very persuasive argument against our entire model of scientific knowledge, and it's pretty disturbing, but very interesting.
Julian, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I've really enjoyed this.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.